Good evening, and welcome back to the Know Your Role Player Podcast. I am your host, J215 Forever. You can follow me on my Instagram page, and in my Instagram bio, you can find the podcast page, Know Your Role Player Podcast. That's KNOWYAROLEPLAYER_podcast. The best way that you can listen to this podcast is by downloading the Anchor app, anchor.fm/KnowYourRolePlayer, or just search Know Your Role Player. Now, some people said they haven't been able to find it on Anchor. If you can't find it on Anchor, it's still on the other apps, all right? Whether that's Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Radio Public, Breaker, and many, many more, all right? So just whatever is the best way that you can listen to it. You don't have to. You don't have to go to Anchor. But if you do, that'd be pretty dope, all right? We now got 10 different, Overcast 2. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 10, right now, 10 platforms that I'm on. All right, hopefully it's 100 soon. All right, but we're going to keep moving, keep growing, and boom. Okay, guys, welcome back. As I promised, 3 podcasts this week. I talked about starting the week strong. This podcast is not going to be long like the last one. We're going to keep this very brief, try to keep this maybe 20 minutes at the max. Today is April 7th, Wednesday, and I wanted to talk about a couple things. So ESPN had the top 25 players under 25, and, you know, I kind of got a little bored with that. So I want to talk about that for a brief second. So in talking about that for a brief second, I want to say this. I think they purposely put guys places to talk about them. Now, listen. There's no perfect list. No matter where you put these guys at, somebody's going to complain about them. Somebody's going to have them. All right, but I do think ESPN purposely places guys in certain positions to get more, generate more conversation, more chatter, maybe more hits to the websites about it. That's not a bad thing. Is that clickbait? Maybe, but hey, it's not the worst thing you do. It's probably actually a smart thing to do. Sometimes it's almost smart to purposely do something wrong. Now, a couple news and notes on today. Last night, I'm going to talk about last night's games really quickly, and I'm going to talk about today's main topic. So last night, the Sixers defeated the Celtics 106-96, and Embiid scored 35, and it never was really that close. He dominated inside, feed him the ball. When they double-teamed him, he passed out to the shooters. They held Jason Tatum to only 20 points. They really couldn't do anything, and I am excited for Embiid revving back up before the playoffs. Obviously, as a Sixers fan, I'm always worried when that man falls down. He has a brace on now, but he's moving well with it. And the Sixers are looking like the Sixers again. They've been in kind of a funk a little bit. Ben Simmons has kind of been in the funk a little bit, but they're doing a lot better. Going to run through some of these games. Trailblazers, Clippers. Okay, so this is one of the two games I want to talk about. The Clippers won 133-116. Slowly but surely, the Clippers' defense and team is starting to come together. I think yesterday, for the first time, the 5-man lineup of Patrick Beverley, Kawhi Leonard, Zubac, and Marcus Morris played together. You know, I think almost all their guys are back. Also, DeMarcus Cousins, who recently signed a 10-day contract, also played play last night. And they did whatever they wanted. So, really, against the Clippers, you know, offensively, honestly, it came down to this. Paul George had 6 threes. He had 26 points. They couldn't do nothing with him. Kawhi had 29 points, but it was more manageable. Paul George was he was unstoppable, and Reggie Jackson was amazing with 23 off the bench. But it really came down to this. If I tell you that Damian Lillard is 2-for-14 with 11 points, you're going to say, oh, they shut him down. And it was a combination of double-teaming, just selling out on him. And to the Trailblazers' credit, the other guys had made the right decisions. Covington finished with 15. Norman Powell had 32. CJ McCollum had 34. I'm also happy that Terry Scott started Ernest Kanter because Nurkic has not been playing well. He's out now with right knee inflammation. He's got about 2 years left in his deal, and if I'm the Trailblazers, I'm looking to move past him. Maybe Zach Collins can give you something, but I think the Nurkic days of being a prime contributor for this team effectively as far as defense and offense is done. Whatever Kanter doesn't give you an defense, he gives you an offense. He's a double-double, 15-13. You can't lose for that. But really, it's like this. The Clippers' defense is playing really good. The offense is playing together, and they're finally healthy. Now, they're still missing Serge Ibaka, so you got to think. Once they get Ibaka back, having the three-man rotation of Serge Ibaka, Zubac, and DeMarcus Cousins, that's pretty good. With a Rondo and a Reggie Jackson, it's pretty good. Also, Terrence Mann, Nicholas Batum's been a good blueprint. Listen, they're good. They are good. How good they are, we'll see. I think a lot about the playoffs is matchups, but the Clippers are rising, all right? Again, I'm going to stick with this. I could be wrong. My two dark horse teams in the playoffs. Dark horse means they're going to be playing better than you expect. Is the Clippers from the West and the Bucks from the East. We'll see if I'm right about that. All right, a couple more games. The Bulls beat the Pacers 113-97. Unfortunately for the Pacers, other than injuries, it doesn't seem like this Caris LeVert thing is a great fit. He kind of wanted just to get some shots up. And not that that's bad, because that's how he plays. He played fine, 9 for 18, 20 points, 2 out of 4 from the three-point line. But it seems like, you know, it's not the cleanest fit. Now, listen, it's a tough season. Maybe they'll be better in the offseason. Jeremy Lamb's also been struggling. I think they kind of got to figure out, like, the pecking order after Sabonis. Also, Miles Turner, pretty good player. He's inconsistent, though, and he probably has a pretty high – you could probably get some pretty good things for him. You know, maybe a Miles Turner and Caris LeVert for Lonzo sign and trade. Not bad. I just think the Pacers are a middling team. They probably won't make the playoffs. Chicago Bulls still don't play a lot of defense, but their offense is good. Nikolai Vucevic with 32-17. That's going to get it done. Zach LaVine chipped in with 19 points, 8 rebounds, 6 assists. All right. I'm going to run through these games real quick. Just to run through a couple other games from last night. The Lakers defeated the Raptors 110-101. The Grizzlies defeated the Heat 124-112. The Nuggets whooped up on the Pistons 134-119. And the Bucks beat the Warriors. Now, even without Giannis, and this is the last point I'm going to talk about for last night's games before I move on. Even without Giannis, I mean, that's pretty impressive, man. Stephen Curry literally makes them a... They go from the worst offense in the league, I was reading this morning, to maybe the 14th offense in the league with Curry. And that's ridiculous, you know. And I got to keep prefacing saying, do not expect Klay Thompson to come back next year, average 24.5 points and play in lockdown defense, all right? It's going to take him time to possibly become the same player he was before. Whether he can do it or not, I'm hoping for him. I'm rooting for him. I love Klay, but we'll see. All right, but back to this top 25 under 25. I don't really want to talk about that. I talked about that before, but I want to talk about the next generation real quick. All right, so in 5 years, right, we'll say 5 years, LeBron's career is winding down. You know, maybe he's still averaging like 19 or 18 points. I don't know. I don't know how LeBron's going to age. He is 36. This is the second time in 2 years he's been hurt, so we'll see. But we'll think post-LeBron, so 5 years. Who is the best player in the league? That's the conversation I want to have. And, you know, if we do it from the older guys, I think I had to come between a few guys as far as maybe Giannis, Embiid, if he's healthy. And I can't say Kevin Durant. I don't think Zion Williamson's ever going to be the best player. I think he's going to be a stud. So I think in 5 years, it's between Giannis and Embiid. I think Embiid is 27 and Giannis is 26. So about 5 years, both of those players will be 31 and 32 in the thick of their prime. Also, as far as Ben was in this list. I think he came in number seven. He's 24 right now, 24.7. So he's got a birthday coming up soon. And it's fair to ask, is you don't think he's going to be a best player in the next 5 years, which is fine. He doesn't have to be. But it's fair to ask, like, is he a good fit with Embiid? I think they're both talented and they work together, right? But I don't know if they're the greatest fit. Now, listen, they got the number one record in the East. But again, with this team, it's how you perform in the playoffs. You can rack up wins for years. They've been doing it with these two guys, racking up wins in the regular season. We got to see in the playoffs. But look. So, listen, other than that, we'll say a combination of maybe Giannis or Embiid in 5 years, right? All right, but then let's go to the young guys. And as much as I'm not the biggest Luka fan, you know, I think he's decent. He's been playing a lot better. Don't get me wrong. Other than those two guys, you got to think that Luka's going to be the best player in 5 years. So, listen, right now, he's shooting a career high 48.8% from the field goal line and 37.1 from the three. That's ridiculous. Averaging 28.6, 8.1 rebounds, and 8.8 assists. Now, this is not even with, like, elite teammates. This is with, like, average to slightly above average teammates. Not even, like, elite shooters or elite defenders. And this is with the second best player in Porzingis not really being there for the most of his journey. And I talked about before how when Dallas had Dirk towards the late of his career, they didn't do a good job of building their roster. But with this guy, you got to do it. And I'm going to counter a couple things. I don't think they really necessarily need to replace, whatever Porzingis is, I think you're going to have to ride it out. You know, he's got two more years left on his deal. If he can't stay healthy these next 2 years, he'll show himself the door. But I think it's better to me to either maybe a complimentary wing or a guard. You know, somebody could take pressure off of him, a guy he could play with, you know. Maybe Alonzo Mourning, maybe a Bradley Beal. Lonzo Ball, maybe a Bradley Beal. But you got to think in 5 years, Luka, let's say 5 years, Luka might average in 5 years 31, 10, and 10. That's not even like a big reach. I mean, he's averaging like almost that now. So we'll see about that. And then in 5 years for Zion. So for Zion, as far as dominating the league, it's two things. One, getting into amazing shape. As big and strong as he is now, he is nowhere where he's going to be physically in 5 years. As far as being chiseled, being lean, and just outworking people, all right? And two, got to get that jump shot working a little bit. Now, listen, his handle is a lot better than I thought. And one thing that the New Orleans Pelicans are doing to improve their team, they're just putting the ball in his hand. He'll get the ball at the top of the key sometimes. He'll get a pick from Steven Adams, and he'll go right to the paint, quick layup. And if they help off of him, he got shooters in the corner. You know, I don't know how much of this team wants to make that the future of the offense, but you got to say in 5 years, he's definitely going to be a top 10 player, maybe top five. I don't know. It's on the shooting with him. Now, a lot of people got mad to do a little reference point that LaMelo Ball was number three on the top 25 under 25 list. Now, you got to remember a couple things. This guy averaged 17 points, about 6 rebounds and 5 assists, but he's 19 years old. And more than that, LaMelo's been playing pros since he was 16. All right? Now, this is not that been playing pros since he was 16. Ricky Rubio, which, you know, with all due respect, is not getting it done in the NBA. He's a solid NBA player, but, you know, LaMelo is it. And, again, other than for young guys, Luka and Zion, LaMelo's got to be right there. You know, as far as being 6'8", filling out a little bit. And, again, this is another player where the teammates matter, you know. They had a fine team around them now, but in 5 years, a lot of those veteran players won't be there. So it's important to make sure that they have a direction that their team is going in. You know, Gordon Hayward's 31, Terry Rozier is 28. You got to ask yourself, in 5 years, who's the guy that's coming up with LaMelo? All right? A couple more guys I want to talk about as far as their growth, as far as players. Listen, Donovan Mitchell is another one. I think he's a stud. I think the only problem with Donovan Mitchell is who he's with. And when you give $200 million to a center that can't get his own shot, it's going to be tough. Now, right now, they have guys like Mike Conley, Bogdan Bogdanovic. They got good players, but you got to project in 5 years. This kid's going to get so much better, but it's also important to have a guy with them. You know, they both are extensions of their long time. Donovan Mitchell, can he be the best player in 5 years? No. So I'm going to say right now, in my personal list, that the best players in 5 years, as far as the young guys, we're going to exclude the older guys that will be over 30. I'll say Luka number one, Zion number two, LaMelo number three. Now, Jason Tatum, we got to put him on this list. And people are going to say, oh, how can you put Jason Tatum over LaMelo? I think Jason Tatum will be a phenomenal scorer. I think he averages about... Now, with Tatum, is a couple things. One, he's got to draw way more fouls. And two, he's got to stop avoiding contact. Those things kind of go hand in hand. But other than that, he's got to create more for others. You know, he can get his own shot, and he came into the league being a scorer. But I don't know. This season's been kind of eh for Jason Tatum and the Celtics. I need to see more. I'm not going to put all the blame on him. But another thing this guy does, when he makes a bad play, he kind of sulks a little bit, kind of has his head down. And, you know, might let it get the best of them. And as a young player on a team that looks up to you as their leader, you can't do that. Now, De'Aaron Fox, to round this thing out, I'm going to talk about two or three more guys. I'm not going to say he can be the best player in the league in 5 years, but he's averaging 24 and 7 now. So let's say 5 years, 28-10. And this is with real good efficiency. He's got to improve that three-point shot. You know, he's doing a better job as using his blazing speed and taking what the defense gives him. He's being way more effective going to the rim. If he can get that three-point shot to leave average, it's pretty much going to be unguardable. But again, a lot of this list is funny. It's like the best player in the league, but to me, it's like the best situation is just as important. I don't think De'Aaron Fox can be the best player in the league in 5 years. Now, Devin Booker, the guy who just gets dissed and forgotten so many times, I didn't even put him in this list. He got to go in the top five, too. All right, so let me edit that list, and I'm going to put Devin Booker in place of LaMelo at number three. And only because at 24, he's averaging about 25 a game. Yo, in 5 years at the smooth age of 30, and he's just right at the cutoff age, yo, this dude might average 32 points, 4 rebounds, and 6 assists. Are you serious? So we got to give some love, not to forget about Devin Booker. I don't think Bam Adebayo can personally be the best player in the league, but I think he can be extremely valuable. Like, think about this real quick. And again, this is just crazy, just me throwing something out in the universe. Let's say that Bam Adebayo says, you know, Miami ain't it. Now, he signed his contract extension, he'll be there. But let's say something happens in about 2 or 3 years, he goes to Portland. Could you imagine Damian Lillard, CJ McCollum with Bam Adebayo? That'd be a championship team. And it's really interesting now. I think the NBA is in such a turning point right now. You know, we got a thing where we got the Lakers, Brooklyn, Denver, the Clippers. But in 5 years, it's going to be a shift because a lot of those players are about 30 years and older. You know, so it's going to be a big shift about who's taking over the next thing. So that was a really interesting thing. It's really about the next generation. For a quick recap, I'm going to say Luka number one. I'm going to say Zion number three or four. Going to get Jason Tatum. No, he's going to not miss it. Devin Booker's going to be in my top five. And maybe Jason Tatum isn't. I'm going to put Jason Tatum in there just as far as an elite scorer. Now, let's talk about some other guys that won't make it in. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Brandon Ingram, Jaylen Brown, Jamal Murray. Now, Jamal Murray and Michael Porter Jr. are X factors. In 5 years, Michael Porter Jr. is good enough to average 30 points a game. He can shoot his behind off now as he commits to being a better defender. You know, the world is his. It's kind of weird. I think there might be some tension. Not now, but as the team grows, this is Jokic's team. And Jokic might win the MVP this year. And you got to ask yourself, 5 years, do he want to be a number two? Does he want to keep playing a number three behind Murray and Jokic? We'll see. And I'm very high on him. Ja Morant has not had the big leap as I thought he has. So we're going to keep him out the top five. I think Trae Young is a stud, but defensively he's going to be a huge limitation, so that's going to be tough. Anthony Edwards, again, the talent is always there, but the IQ and the decision-making and the discipline is going to take a long time. I cannot see him being a top five player. I'm going to be honest with DeAndre Ayton. I don't think he plays hard enough. I don't think he plays hard enough sometimes. I watch the Suns games a lot, and he just be kind of going through the motions. Chris Paul is a dog. He'd be like, yo, let's go. Like, you would think with Chris Paul on that team, he would average almost 20 points a game, but, you know, he doesn't roll hard all the way to the rim. Kind of been lackadaisical. Came into the season out of shape. I don't know. Tyrese Halliburton, I think he's more of a complimentary player than a superstar. Jared Allen, a complimentary player more than a superstar. Lonzo Ball, another complimentary player than a superstar. Last one, Colin Sexton. Colin Sexton. Is there a chance that Colin Sexton can be the best player in the league in 5 years? As much as I like him, as hard as he plays, no way. So again, rounding up the list, Luka number one, Zion number two. I'm going to give Jason Tatum number three, Devin Booker number four, and Ben Simmons number five. All right. I do Donovan Mitchell six, Brandon Ingram seven, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander eight, and Jamal Murray 9, and Doncic Sabonis number 10. All right? Thought that'd be pretty cool to talk about that real quick. Now, listen, real quick, I'm going to give y'all tonight's picks, and we are going to get out of here. All right, so tonight, the Minnesota Timberwolves play the Indiana Pacers. Minnesota's favored by one. I like the Pacers. The Orlando Magic is home versus the Washington Wizards. Wizards are favored by five. I like the Wizards to win and cover the spread. Knicks and Celtics play at 7:30. Boston is favored by 3. I like the Knicks. Pelicans, Nets. Kevin Durant returns, but still no James Harden. He's going to be out for another 10 days. I like the Pelicans to cover that 10, but I like Brooklyn to win the game. Grizzlies, Hawks. Memphis is favored by 1. I'm going to pick the Hawks. Mavericks, Rockets. Dallas is favored by 10.5. I'm going to pick Dallas to win, and I'm thinking I'm going to pick them to win by 10.5. Hornets, Thunder. Charlotte is favored by 5.5. I like the Hornets, and I like them to cover that spread. Denver favored by 6.5. I love Denver to cover that spread. And Utah favored by 2. I'm going to take the Suns in the upset. All right, as always, I appreciate and love all the support. This is the Next Gen episode. Again, tell me what y'all like. We'll get some feedback from me on Saturday. The Saturday pod, we're going to talk about the draft a little bit. And we're going to talk about the guy I didn't forget. All right? Y'all thought I forgot. I did not forget. All right? Again, Wednesday, we're halfway through. Wednesday is considered hump day. So we are halfway through the week. All right? Do not let this week defeat you. Defeat the week. Attack. We are halfway there. I'm in the trenches with y'all. All right? We are going to all make it to the end of this week strong. We got one more podcast on Saturday. And we're going to continue to be great. As always, thank you for the love and support. Peace.